Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. To the You Were Made for More podcast. It has been a while since I've been with you guys and since we've released a new episode, just because of family transitions going on and moving unexpectedly and all of those things going on in my personal life. But I did want to be sure to get you this episode just because I have a friend and you're going to hear from her today about mental health, and her name is Georgia. Georgia has been my friend for a few years now. We met while doing the Pittsburgh Fellows program, and her background is pretty cool. She was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and she still resides there because she loves how down to earth the people are and how hardworking everyone is. She also is a counseling graduate student at Geneva College and has a passion for demystifying mental health and having fun while doing it, as well as helping people discover their own path to flourishing. And I've kind of gotten to walk alongside of her for the seasons where she has been discovering her own path to flourishing. And now, since she's kind of in the midst of that herself, she is passionate about helping other people do that. And she is very knowledgeable, so passionate, so fun and just outgoing, and really has a biblical mindset, which is important, and just cares for people. And that's why I wanted to ask her to come on and be with you guys today. And she runs an Instagram platform called Whole Soul Healing, and we will link to all of these resources in the show notes for you guys because they're super useful for like everyday emotional and mental health. So I'm super pumped for you to hear this conversation with Georgia. I can't wait to see the fruit that comes out of it, and I'm thankful for her. So turn your volume up and let's listen to this conversation. Georgia, welcome to the You Were Made for More podcast. We are so excited you're here. Can you just start off by telling us a little bit about who you are, where we can find you, what you're all about these days?
Hello, everybody. My name is Georgia Scott. I'm so excited to be here and to be answering some of these questions for you. I am in graduate school to become a marriage, couple, and family therapist, and I'm at Geneva College. I also work there and very involved with my family, so on a day-to-day basis, you can find me either studying at school or with my family or hanging out with my friends. So yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell right now. And yeah, I'm glad to be here.
So how did you get interested in counseling, mental and emotional health and wellness? Like, what, I guess I'm wondering, can you share what led you to go that route? Because your background is very diverse. You're a very multi-passionate person. So how did you kind of feel led there? What was that process like?
So I got into the counseling sphere for a couple reasons. First of all, I have had my own counseling and it's been amazing. Second of all, I was in the corporate world for 2 years, and I've noticed that my favorite parts of every day were when people were going to be coming to my desk and telling me about their lives. And I also loved being in meetings. So I know most people don't love being in meetings, but it was my favorite part of the day. So I sort of thought to myself, well, I loved counseling, being on the client end of things, and I love when people are telling me about their life, and I love hearing the most, vulnerable parts of people's stories, and I love being able to sit with people while they sort of answer life's most important questions. So that's sort of what led me to counseling, and I am so thankful that I am in school for it, because I have been loving what I'm learning. It's so important. I feel like I always feel this way about physical health too. Like, physicians, I'm sure, know so many things about our bodies that they can't imagine not knowing, because it's just vital information that everybody should know. And I've been feeling that too with what I've been learning. Like, people would benefit so much if they just all took these classes and could understand their own brains better and their own physiology and, all the inner workings of the emotional, behavioral, and just inner world.
Yes, I totally agree. Counseling. I went to counseling personally, and then my husband and I also have went to marriage counseling just to kind of work through some of the emotional trauma that we've both had and how we can help each other heal and all of those things. So counseling is definitely very important. But before we go that route, at You Were Made For More, we're all about the Lord and helping people flourish in their relationship with Jesus. So can you talk a little bit about how your relationship with the Lord plays into your emotional and mental health, personally, but also for other people? How should their relationship with the Lord play in to that arena of their health?
This is a really good question, because I think there's a huge misconception in the Christian community that, if you just trust in the Lord and you pray hard enough, your anxiety will go away or your depression will go away. And that is just simply not true. I mean, if you think about physical health as well, you can pray as hard as you want for your broken leg to be healed, but sometimes the Lord might not heal your leg instantly. So I do think that having a relationship with the Lord does not disqualify you from therapy. In fact, I would imagine it makes most therapy richer to include your spiritual faith in the therapy room. And I know a lot of other clinicians feel that way as well. As a therapist, it's interesting for me because I have my own outlook on life, and everybody does. So, if you think that you're going to a therapist who's completely neutral, who doesn't have an outlook on life, then hate to break it to you, but everybody has their own outlook on life. So it's interesting for me to think about, the way I view people, the way I view people changing. If you're going to be a therapist, you have to believe that people can change. And I do believe that. And, my faith speaks to a lot of those things. In the field, we talk about a strengths-based approach to counseling. And I think, believing that people can change, believing that people have the tools within themselves to make their situation better. It all sort of intertwines with my faith, with common grace. And also, like I said, I think anybody who wants to incorporate their faith into the therapy room is going to be very beneficial for them. The statistics even show that, that faith and spirituality yields higher percentage of lasting change. So, in conjunction with therapy. So that's sort of, I think, I don't know if that totally answers your question, but I think that they totally go hand in hand. And I think that sometimes the Lord gives us ailments, physical, emotional, behavioral ailments that we need to, you know, sort of manage on this earth. It's part of one of his assignments for us almost. And, learning how to do that and do that well and do that in a way that glorifies the Lord. If you choose to incorporate your faith into your therapy, yeah, it's really important.
I love that you bring up that point about faith and spirituality creating lasting change, because I do think that's a really important point. There are things that, like, I have went through and I've been walking through with other people, and I have raised the question sometimes, like, how do people do this without the Lord? Like, first of all, what is the point of healing without the Lord? And second of all, like, how is it even possible, you know? So the point that you bring that up from a statistic and scientific basis, like, psychologically, healing is more permanent when you do it with faith and something greater than yourself. That is really important. So I'm super glad you brought up that point. So I want to shift directions, first of all, so our listeners can kind of get to know you. Can you share a little bit about, you've mentioned that you went to your own counseling, like, have you experienced your own trauma? And would you mind sharing a little bit about that with us? And the reason I ask this is because I think it's really important to show that healing is a process and it's not a one and done type of thing. Like, if you go to counseling for this amount of time, you'll be all better, you know, because healing from trauma is a process. So can you talk about a little bit about what that has looked like for you?
So this is an interesting question. And it just depends sort of where you stand on, like, ideology of trauma. I personally believe that there are two types of trauma, and you'll hear this if you read, like, literature on counseling. There's big T trauma and little T trauma. So a big T trauma would be something that happened to you one time that was, like, very severe, totally changed you, and potentially, like, you have PTSD from it, and so it could be like a rape or a robbery, or you know, you witness someone die or something like that. That would be a big T trauma. And then a little T trauma would be something more along the lines of something that was just true about your life, and it sort of changed your outlook on life little by little over time. So, like, for example, thinking about the two, so a big T trauma would be like a hate crime, for example, and then a little T trauma could be like continuous microaggressions day in, day out, that have built up to sort of one bigger trauma, but they're a daily thing that you have to sort of manage and deal with. So that being said, yes, I mean, I think we all do have our own trauma, and I certainly have in my life. And as a woman, I think the statistics are just really high on women experiencing trauma within relationships or with regards to men. So that's sort of where my mine is. I have, you know, there are different facets of my life where there are different things that have gone on in my lifetime, but it is something that is just, like, I have a therapist, you know. Even therapists need therapists. If you have a good therapist, they're also going to therapy because they have to work through things of their own. And, yeah, I think my biggest advice for people who have trauma or who have, you know, either little or big T trauma, I think, is go to therapy, work through it, learn what triggers you, learn what still makes you, like, get activated. So if you feel like your heart is racing or you're sweating, because you're thinking about something, learn what it is that makes you, get activated, and then work on it in therapy and talk about it and maybe reprocess. Like, there's some great different types of therapy out there for reprocessing trauma and synthesizing it so that you no longer have PTSD. But trauma is a huge thing that a lot of people do deal with, and so getting help for it is my biggest suggestion. It's what I've done, and I think I'm just going to say this too, because I think it's important and I don't necessarily think that we talk about it enough in today's society. Like, we know about mental health at this point. People are very aware of it and aware of the impacts, but I think oftentimes I see people using things as an excuse. Like, that sounds super harsh, but just hear me out for a second. So, like, oh, I can't do this because I have anxiety. Like, okay, so there's a difference between having, like, chronic anxiety that's, like, a diagnosis, and, like, regular old anxiety that every human being has. And, you know, no matter where you are on the spectrum, like, the purpose of knowing about mental health and being a mental health awareness is not so that you can just say, like, oh, I have this. It's very similar to the Enneagram. It's like, okay, once you learn what you are, what your personality type is, that doesn't give you the right to just say, like, oh, I'm a seven, and so I just tend to escape. I tend to escape when I'm feeling bad, and that doesn't make it okay for me to do that. It just brings my awareness to it so that I can learn how to heal that part of me, or choose something different. So, like, instead of escaping, like, going to therapy or talking to a friend or facing the problem head on. It's like, so what I'm not inclined to do, but because I have the awareness about who I am and what I'm inclined to do, I'm able to choose something different and something healthier and sort of seek health in that way. And I think that's really important, because, to be honest, like, the reality is there are going to be triggers throughout your life for every different sort of scenario, and you have to sort of, everybody has to manage their own triggers, and we have to, if we want to go through life without just being triggered all the time, we have to be able to, like, learn how to do that. And I'm not saying that that's easy. Like, I realize that has a lot of significance to it. It has a lot of work attached to it, but I do think that's something that's really important that we sometimes miss every day.
So thank you for sharing all of that. That's super informative, and I think for anyone. But one of the other things I also want to point out to you guys about Georgia and who she is not only is she passionate about her own mental health and helping other people deal with the little traumas like she talked about, but also the big traumas that you're kind of dealing with on a daily basis and figuring out how to cope with the triggers that go along with them. Another thing that she has done for many years is be a youth leader to teenagers. And the reason I bring that up is because I just want to ask you to offer some encouragement to the teenagers listening, especially in light of the COVID-19 pandemic and just everything going on in the world, like, with how heavy it feels. What encouragement can you offer us in regards to our mental health?
Yes, of course. I think the biggest thing that people can do right now is, well, there are a lot of things, but just connect. I mean, you've got to connect with your friends. You've got to connect with your family. It's so hard to connect, it feels like, but if you are just isolated all the time, it's not going to be good for you. It's not good for anybody. We were made to be in community, so make that a priority. And, like, I know this for myself, social media is great. Like, I, you know, really enjoy it, and I think there are great things about it, but it really gives me anxiety sometimes. And so, for example, right now I'm on a social media break, and so that's going to be lasting for quite a while, I think, because I just was very engrossed in it. And yeah, so do try things out to reduce the anxiety, try things out to reduce isolation, like go meet up with people, make a new friend. It sounds harder. It sounds hard. It is hard. I'm not minimizing that either, but like, you know, you just sort of have to take these leaps of faith in order to be connected to other humans like we were created to be. And, you know, yeah, God created us as relational beings. And I think, you know, I think back to my own time in high school, and I, even now, to be honest, like when I'm going to something that's like a big event, leading up to the event, I am like, I don't want to go. Like, even if it's like a weekly thing, like a youth group or whatever, I'm like, I don't want to go. I can't go. It's going to be so exhausting, blah, blah, blah. And then I get there and I have the best time. And so I think that that's one way that the enemy has been using this pandemic, and has been using anxiety, to be honest, to isolate us all, is he sort of, you know, makes us dread things that he knows the Lord will use to encourage us. And so that's something that I would call your attention to, like, notice if you're being dissuaded from joining in to the community by the enemy, because I do think that's one way he works to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes, I think the point about connection was so good. Like, it's so easy when you are forced to be isolate, just not to connect, because you think that you're forced to isolate. But there are so many ways you can connect. Like, I know personally, my husband started a new job and he's out of town a lot in this season. And it's just me and my daughter at home. And because of COVID, and like, we don't live super close to a lot of our family and friends, it's so easy for me just to like isolate and be in my own bubble and like check things off my to-do list. But like, I really have had to be intentional with connecting with my other friends and connecting with him since he's not at home. So being intentional about those things is so, so important. So what about if there's a student listening that is struggling with depression? Can you offer some practical tools to them? Because they're going to hear that, like, connect, just be intentional, and that can be super overwhelming for you, or, like, you might be turned off from those words if you are struggling with depression right now. So can you offer some practical tools for them, like healthy habits to practice, resources to utilize, anything like that?
So if you're experiencing depression, my main suggestion would be to seek out therapy. It is just really important to learn how to manage that within yourself, and everyone is different. So I can give however many, you know, suggestions on this podcast, but I don't know you as the listener, and I don't know exactly what you're going through. And a lot of times depression leads to suicidal ideation, and that's something that is not uncommon. And so if you have experienced depression, if you've experienced suicide ideation, I really, really encourage you to find a therapist nearby. You can reach out to me. I can help you find a therapist. But yeah, Psychology Today is a great resource. You can search for people in your area, or if you do go to church, contact your church, and they have typically recommendations for who you can see. So yes, first and foremost, that's the most important thing about this. A lot of times too, like I was talking about earlier, there is, you know, being isolated can cause, you know, depression. Lack of sleep can cause depression. You know, think about the time when you were most recently happy and deeply happy? And what was that situation for you? Can you recreate that situation? If you can't recreate it, can you foster relationships or experiences that were similar to it? Just sort of finding ways in life to go to where you feel joyful. So is it going for a walk through the woods? Is it meeting up with your friends on a Friday night? Is it being in the Word? Those things are all super important. And I think building practices of self-care, which that gets thrown around all the time. Like, self-care is not simply doing a face mask with cucumbers on your eyes. Like, you can practice self-care in so many ways, but like, seeing a therapist is self-care. Going for a hike is self-care. Reading your Bible every day is self-care. Listening to a podcast sermon is self-care. Like, those things might not be making you jump for joy in the moment, but they all add up to a pretty phenomenal life. Like, making sure you include those things that you know are important to you, like, those are really important to include, even if you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't wake up early today and read my Bible. Like, that is part of building a life that you find to be meaningful. So I encourage you to like examine your values and see what matters to you, and then build those things in to your daily life, weekly life.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that you mentioned self-care, but also you elaborated in it in the way that like it is a ton of little things you're doing throughout the day to bring you a larger amount of joy than it would if you just didn't do those things, because they seem mundane. And like you said, you might not be jumping for joy with them. So I encourage you, if you're listening to this, like Georgia said, figure out what those things are. Like, make note of things that ultimately, even if you're not excited about them before you do them, make note of the things that after you do them, you feel good after you did them. The last thing I kind of want to talk about are things that I've seen on your Instagram that you have put out there to encourage people in their own healing journeys. And the first one is this. There's a phrase that if you've ever dealt with any trauma, you may have heard, and it is time heals everything. For me, that has never been super helpful. So Georgia, I want to ask you, like, do you believe that is helpful? And if you do not, what should our outlook be instead as we...
I love that you asked this question, because I have thoughts. I agree to some extent that like, when time goes by, you think about things less and maybe they sting a little bit less and stuff like that. But time doesn't heal anything. The Lord heals things, and the Lord gives you tools that you can use to heal things, like, for example, through therapy, through, you know, daily practices, like we sort of talked about. I don't believe that time has any power, and I do believe that the Lord has power, and I believe that, you know, prayer has power, and so, you know, healing comes through the Lord. Healing comes through work. It takes work to, when you break your leg, someone sets it, you put it in a cast, and then it takes work to build up the muscles back around that leg. It takes effort, physical therapy training to make sure everything heals properly. And so if you think about that with your mind as well, like, it's not just going to happen because you don't think about it for 6 months. It's not just going to be better all of a sudden. So that's sort of where I come from on that. Like, time doesn't heal things. Like, you work to heal things, and the Lord heals things alongside of you. But like I said earlier, oftentimes, like, injuries to the physical body or mental health issues or anything like that, those things don't heal. If you, I mean, like, God can heal things 100% when you pray, immediately. I totally believe that. But a lot of times I feel like the Lord wants that to be part of your journey in some way. And so it's not necessarily the injury that matters, but how you react to it, how you, are caring for it day in, day out, and how it grows your relationship with the Lord, and how it, changes your outlook on life, how it changes your perspective of yourself. And yeah, that's sort of where I'm on that.
So good. This is all such good stuff. The last thing I want to talk about, like you said, there's a lot of evidence with women struggling in relationships with emotional abuse, any type of abuse, really. But there's also a lot of evidence of what women are facing in regards to body image. This is a huge deal for so many teenagers, young women, and really women of any age. I have struggled with body image basically my entire life. And even some men now are dealing with it because of social media and this culture that we're creating. Can you talk about what affects your body image and how do we cope and get ahead of these negative thoughts about our body image? And for those of you listening, I will link to an Instagram post that Georgia created that talks about this question. It is really good. So Georgia, if you can go into some of that, I think that will be a super helpful place for a lot of listeners.
This is such a good question, and it totally relates to every single person. I don't care if you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, whoever you are. Everyone thinks about their body image. Everyone has a body image, and so it's important to know what goes into it. Like, you think, oh, I gained 5 pounds, so I'm a slug. Like, no, that's not what it is. It's not just the number on the scale. It's not just what you see when you look in the mirror. Like, it matters. It matters where, if you're a woman, where you are on your cycle, if you have had, you know, what kinds of comments have been made to you in the past 24 hours, what kinds of comments were made to you when you were 5, you know, like, there are so many things that go into body image. Trauma, is a big one. There are, you know, the media you consume is a big one, and the women or men you surround yourself with, like how they talk about themselves, all these things really add up to self-image. And also, you know, let's not forget what the Lord says about us. He said we were created in His image. And so when we look in the mirror, we're seeing a creation of God, of the Almighty God, who doesn't make mistakes. And so, you know, sort of understanding that and synthesizing that into your brain is really hard, but there are things that you can do to sort of make it more commonplace, I guess, more part of your daily routine, to encourage yourself and to have a healthy self-image. Like, I know a lot of girls write Bible verses on the mirror about how they were beautifully and wonderfully made and how they were made in God's image, or throwing away your scale. That's one I definitely am a huge proponent for. I mean, even just going for like a 5-minute walk in the morning or in the afternoon totally changes how I feel about myself. So that's something I encourage. What else? Deleting your social media if you're brave enough, or just sort of unfollowing people who make you feel like poop. You gotta be really vigilant about what you put into your brain, through your eyes, through your ears. It's just like anything that you see online is going to affect you in one way or the other. Same thing with the music you listen to, and all that stuff. I sound like a grandma, but it's true. And like I said, I'm on a social media break right now. I don't even follow people who make me feel bad. I just like know that it gives me anxiety. And so, yeah, you just got to know yourself and know what makes you tick, and then know how to adjust if necessary. But yeah, it's super healthy to set boundaries in place. Another thing you could talk about with your therapist when you get one.
Georgia, can you tell us where we can find you online, on social media? Like, where can we find your resources and get a hold of them?
Thank you so much for having me here, Sammy. And you guys are more than welcome to reach out to me. My website is wholesoulhealing.co. So definitely reach out on there. And I also have a Instagram, wholesoulhealingco. But like I mentioned, I am on a social media break right now for various reasons, for my personal account and for my Whole Soul Healing account. So, best way to reach out to me is my, website. And yeah, if you need any help finding a therapist, definitely reach out to your church, look on Psychology Today. And if you can't find anything, let me know and I'd be happy to help you. And yeah, thanks again for having me, Sammy.
Georgia, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I know I learned a ton from this conversation and from listening to you. And my prayer is that it would encourage someone to reach out for help, whether that be to a youth leader, a parent, or a therapist that you know. Reach out somewhere that can help get you connected with someone to get you on this healing journey. And remember that it is a process, not a one and done thing. So we're so excited, so thankful for Georgia, and you can find all of the information about her and her website and her resources in the show notes. Until next time, we love you guys. Thank you for tuning into the You Were Made For More podcast. See you guys later.